Psalm 96, and we're going to read together. Worship the Lord. Worship in the splendor of holiness. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be gladdened, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. This is the word of God. Now the world we live in needs rescuing and redemption. When you look at the world and the depravity around us, you know about it. I don't have to tell you how lost and how depraved people are in the world. You can only look at your own heart and you will know how much you need Christ. How much you need salvation. And it's not only the lost. It's not only the unbelievers that need rescuing and redemption. Believers need rescuing from the remains of sin. They need redemption as well. And it's not only unbelievers or believers, but even the earth itself needs rescuing, redemption. And that's what we see in this text. We see that the earth needs salvation as well. I will tell you a little bit later about that. Psalm 96 is a missionary psalm. It gives many commands. God gives many commands. There are a lot of imperatives. I listed about 8 of them. It says sing 3 times. Sing, tell, declare, tremble, ascribe glory, bring an offering, come into his courts. There are imperatives that you and I need to obey. The context of the psalm was given when, some say, when David came into Jerusalem and they worshiped God in Jerusalem. And it was God's temple that was later built. God rescued his people from false religion in Egypt. God planted his people in the promised land. And then God provided for them a place to worship. He planted his vine. He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a covenant with his people that they should be his people and that they should worship the true God. And that is where all mission work starts. It starts with God. It starts with God's glory. It starts with God's majesty. It starts with where people worship the true God. That's where all mission work starts. Verse 1 says, sing to the Lord. 3 times it says, sing to the Lord. And if something is repeated in scripture like that, it's emphasizing something. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. If you do not worship Him and sing to Him and are happy in God, you have no business to share Him with the world. The mission of God has its starting point and ending point with the worship of God. You see, why do you and I reach out to the world? Why do we want to tell people about Jesus? I hope you have that desire to tell people about Jesus, about His salvation. But why do we do that? We do it because we want people to worship God. We want people to tremble before Him. We want people to understand the majesty and the glory and the splendor of God Almighty. We worship God. And it's out of worship we go to the world and tell them, you know, all these idols that you are worshiping, they are worthless, they're useless. Come and serve and worship the true God. That's what mission work is all about. It's about inviting people to worship the true God. You see, that's where it starts, that's where it ends. Because in heaven one day, everyone in heaven is going to worship God for all eternity. We will never get tired of worshiping God. God is so glorious. I mean, when you look at nature and you look at the heavens, you see something of the greatness of God. But where we only are touching those things now. In heaven, we will be worshiping God. So the mission of God, you can say, starts with God. God is the center. That's my title this morning. The glory of God. Glorify God. Rescue the perishing. Glorify God. Rescue the perishing. So what I want to do today is I want to answer three questions. Why do we need to rescue the perishing? Who are the perishing and what? Who and what? And how? How do we rescue the perishing? Okay. First of all, why? Why does the world need rescuing? I want to provide three reasons. Verse 4 says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." That's the first reason. God is great and is greatly to be praised. Secondly, all the idols, the gods of the peoples are worthless. That's the second reason. And thirdly, God will judge the world in righteousness. First reason why we should rescue the perishing. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why is God so great? Well, the text tells us why God is so great. God saves. God's works are marvelous. God is glorious. God reigns and God gives joy. Greatly to be praised. Verse 2 says, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day." God is greatly to be praised because He's the Savior of the world. We know the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 4, 12, "There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved." Romans, we just read earlier, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord," who is Jesus, "everyone who calls upon this name will be saved." They will be saved. Salvation is in Christ. There's no other way in the world to be saved but by believing, by calling upon His name. That's why we should rescue the perishing. Jesus is the Savior. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. He saves. We have a mighty Savior. He saves us from the guilt of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. He saves us from the presence of sin in heaven. There will be no sin at all. That's the Savior that we serve. He's great and greatly to be praised because He has the power and the ability to save us from all our enemies. His works are marvelous. Verse 3, "Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all peoples." God is marvelous. His works are marvelous in creation. Just think about creation. I mean, Roxanne and I recently, you know, we have a baby now here with us. The other one is in heaven, Thomas. But Nicholas here, when I look at this baby's face, And this is his expressions. And I think, you know, God made this. God made this. There are so many of them all over the world. But you just think about God's creation. The result should be praise to God. God has so many wonderful things. If you think about human beings, he's the crown of his creation. You think about everything that he has made. Marvelous are his works. He is marvelous in sustaining everything on earth. By the word of his power, the Bible says, God is sustaining the universe. Why are we breathing? Why are we walking? Why are the laws of gravity still there? God is sustaining everything. God is keeping the sun where it is. God is causing the earth to rotate, you know, on its axis and all these kind of things. God is sustaining everything. God is marvelous in his works. That's why we need to rescue the perishing. We need to tell them about the glory, the majesty, the marvelous works of God. God is glorious in his being. Verse 6 to 9 says, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You know, many times we think of beauty. And you look at sunsets, or you think about beauty in general, flowers and so on. Beautiful. But strength and beauty together, that's what you see in God. Beauty and strength. Omnipotence and beauty in the same being. And that's why God needs to be glorified. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Glory is the sum of all his attributes. It's the summary, you can say, of all his attributes. Justice, holiness, righteousness, power, mercy, grace. All these things come together. It's God's glory. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. I don't think anybody can do that. The glory due his name. We are just human beings. We cannot do that 100%. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him. Why should we rescue the perishing? Because God is awesome. God is fearful. God is glorious. God reigns. Verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples. All authority, all power belongs to Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again to this earth. He is glorious. He's powerful. He reigns. Satan doesn't reign. Man doesn't reign. The governments don't reign. Christ reigns across the world. And therefore we need to rescue the perishing. He saves. He's glorious. His works are marvelous. He reigns. He gives joy. Look at verse 11 and 12. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy. Now we know this is personification. We know that the heavens cannot rejoice. They don't have souls. The angels in heaven can rejoice. But the sea, they don't have souls. But yet the point is that if God saves, if God reigns, if God is glorious, if God sustains everything, the whole universe should rejoice. Because he will come to save even this earth from corruption. He will save this planet. He will save, he will make a new heavens and a new earth. That's the first reason. God is greatly to be praised. That's why we should reach out to the lost. All the gods, verse 5, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Now I can now relate to you all the false gods in the world. And I will stand here till tomorrow because there are so many. the God of Islam, Ra, Brahman, Vishnu, you know, the Queen of Heaven, Mammon, Zeus, Baal, success, science, statism. We can carry on and on until tomorrow. All these things, all the gods of the people, all the gods that the people are worshipping in entertainment, wherever it is, they are worthless idols. They are vanities. They will pass away. They are all worthless idols. God is going to destroy them. And people are enslaved, as we just heard from India. People are enslaved. They are bound to these idols. They are going to perish. We need to tell people the idols that they are serving, the gods that they are serving, are worthless idols. There's only one God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one true God. And unless people worship this God, they are going to perish. Third reason why we should rescue the perishing. Verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. God will judge the world. Every person on the face of the earth is going to stand before God. You are going to stand before God one day. You are going to give an account of the life that you have lived. Every person who has ever lived on the face of the planet, history, present, and future, will stand before God one day, and God will judge every person who has ever lived in righteousness through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if that is true, if it is true that God is going to judge every person, and only those who are in Christ Jesus, only those who are saved from their sins through Jesus Christ is going to go to heaven, you and I have an obligation to go to people and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Savior. Tell them about the judge. Tell them about Judgment Day. Because no one is going to escape. No one. These are few reasons, according to the text, why we should rescue the perishing. Secondly, who and what? Look at verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. You see that? All the peoples, all the nations, among the nations. That's why mission work is essential. Because God is the God of all the peoples. There's not a nation, there's not an ethnic group, there's not a language group, there's not human beings anywhere in the world that will not face Judgment Day. God is the ruler of all. And there is the Savior of all. He's not just the Savior of the Europeans. He's not just the Savior of the Americans. He's a Savior of the whole world. So who are the unsaved? I want to give you three categories I believe we should focus on. Now, if you think about the world, there are mainly two categories, religious people and irreligious people. People that believe there's a God and people that believe there's no God. Now, people that believe there's no God are called secularists or atheists. And they believe that we are a product of evolutionary processes. They believe we come from apes. And if the whole universe is a cosmic accident, this is absurd. But that's what irreligious people believe. They believe we come from dust, right? That exploded. Which is ridiculous. But that's a religious, irreligious people. There are many of them, actually. There are millions of them, hundreds of millions, who are irreligious. But then the majority of the world are religious. And when you think about the religious people, then you classify them mainly in three groups. Christians, or people, Roman Catholics, or people that call themselves Christians, people that believe the Bible is true, people, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, there are four groups mainly. There are other groups as well. And they subdivide into other groups as well. But the religious people are mainly in those groups. Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, and Muslims. But, now many of these people that are lost, are many, many, millions and millions. But when I think about reaching the unreached, I want to classify them in three different categories. Firstly, the reached but unchurched and unsaved. These are the people that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe many times, but they're unchurched. They don't want to come to church. They are either disillusioned by the established church for whatever reason. They've been hurt in the church. They are unchurched and they are unsaved, but they have been reached. Okay, that's the first classification. They have heard the gospel maybe many times, but they are not saved and they don't come to church. That's the one category. The second category are those who are reached. They come to church regularly, but they are unsaved. That's another one. They've heard the gospel many times. Some of these people, they're on false churches. They've heard the false gospel. They've heard the prosperity gospel. They've heard different types of Jesuses. But they go to church. They have been reached, but they're unsaved. And that's, when I think about these kind of people, I think of Matthew 7. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord," but I will say to you, "I've never knew you." They come to church regularly. They've been reached many times, but they remain unsaved. That's the second category. The third category, I believe, are the most important category. I'm not saying other people are unimportant, but I believe they are more important for one reason. They are the unreached, unchurched, and unsaved. Those people who have not been reached by the gospel. There are unreached people groups, unreached individuals, unreached, unchurched, unsaved. There are many places, there's not even a church in a radius of 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers. Unreached, unchurched, and unsaved. The Joshua Project tells us the unreached live mostly in these areas of the world. That's called the 1040 window. The 1040 window is this area from here up to here. 10 degrees north of the equator to 40 degrees north of the equator, over North Africa to Asia to Japan. That area, most of the unreached people groups in the world live there. They are mainly from Islamic, Buddhist, and Hindu background. Okay? Now, according to Joshua Project, there are 17,000 people groups in the world. 17,000. 7,100 of them are unreached. And that amounts to 41% of the total population, according to Joshua Project. 41%. And in numbers, population, there are 7.6 billion people in the world. That was in 2019, October. Population unreached, 3.19 billion. Population unreached, 41%. Now, the biggest unreached people groups in the world, if you don't know, are the Bengali, live in Bangladesh and West Bengal. Urdu, live in Pakistan, and they're actually scattered all across the world. Same with the Bengali. Japanese, 120 million. Bengali, 220 million. Thai, 15, 20 million. Hausa, Fulani, Northern Nigeria groups. And then there are many other groups that I put in India and in other places as well. Why do I mention these things to you? Just want to bring this under your attention. If you are interested in the largest unreached people groups in the world, contact me. I have documents that I've downloaded from people. The 50 biggest unreached people groups in the world, an unreached people group basically, means that less than 2% of the total group are calling themselves Christians. So for example, if you have the whole people group, less than 2% call themselves Christians. There's not a group like that in South Africa, except for those who've come outside, like the Bengalis. These individuals have very limited, if any, access to the gospel. There's not a church in sight. 1 in 5 people on earth live in these 50 biggest unreached people groups. Every group is larger than 10 million. And primarily there are 23 of them are Muslim, 18 Hindu, 6 Buddhist, 2 ethnic religions, and mostly live in the 1040 window. The unreached people groups. Now there are also unreached people groups, smaller ones all across the world. Interestingly enough, some of these big groups, they live in South Africa, like the Bengalis and the Urdus. I've reached out to them all over Gauteng. You go to any inner city, they will find them there. They have cell phone shops, the Urdus from Pakistan or India. And they sell cell phone accessories and stuff. And then also the Bengalis, they have little shops like spa shops. They're everywhere. They're in Kempton Park, everywhere. If you just go down the street, you'll find them there. Those are called unreached people groups. Why do we say that? Because less than 2% of the whole population of that group are Christian. And some places, there are no churches at all among these groups. Now, I believe as Christians, we should focus on unreached people groups. Now, I'm not saying that the youth in every generation is unreached, because that's also true. The youth in every generation are unreached, because there are many, even in South Africa, for example, because there are many families where there is no gospel witness. So they need to be reached from the very start. Also, there are unreached people, individuals in every people group as well. There are many, there are probably Afrikaners or Pedis or Sutus that I've never read through. So I'm not diminishing that fact. There are unreached people in every ethnic group. But when we think about the larger picture, there are called unreached people groups. Less than 2% of the whole group call themselves Christian. Like we go, when I was in Thailand, for example, you would go to, there are places, no church. Districts, towns, there's not one church. You go everywhere in South Africa, there's a church everywhere. You can find a church everywhere. Not the same in Japan, India, Thailand. There's no church in many towns. In fact, the majority of towns have no church. So that's what I call unreached people groups. Who are they? Who should we reach? What? Listen to verse 11, 12, and 13. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything that is in it. Now, I've said this before. When we think about salvation, who we should reach, we should think about the earth as well. Because Christ came not only to save people, He came to save the earth from the effects of sin. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us that the creation is waiting in anticipation for the redemption of the sons of God, to the liberty of the sons of God. So God is going to renew the earth. God is going to redeem the earth. God is going to redeem the universe. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. So His salvation is not just for humans, it's the cosmos, it's the world. And that's why we see in this text, verse 11, 12, let the field rejoice, let the heavens exult, and so on. And therefore, we should also be concerned about the earth. That's why it's not wrong to be concerned about pollution as Christians. We should have an impact if we can on these things as well. So that's the why, the how, and now the why, the who, the what, and now we're going to look at the how. There are three things that I want to say here. If we talk about rescuing the perishing, there are three things. How do we reach the lost? How do we reach those who are perishing? Three ways. Through our words. Through our words, through our lives, and through our prayers. Through our words, through our lives, through our prayers. And they must come together. Listen to verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation. Listen to it. Day from day to day. I want to ask you something. Are you doing that? Are you telling of His salvation from day to day? Another translation, I looked at the Hebrew. It's actually, the New King James, I think, gets it better. Proclaim His good news of the good news of His salvation from day to day. Proclaim the good news of His salvation. In other words, proclaim the gospel from day to day. If every Christian does that, the world would have been reached, I think. If every Christian is committed to tell of His salvation from day to day, not week to week or month to month. Okay, once a month I'm going to do an outreach. Once a year I'm going to do something. Once a week, no, from day to day. You see the imperative there. Tell of His salvation from day to day. If you have salvation, that's your responsibility. If you have salvation, if your sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ, you and I have a responsibility. Why are there so many unreached people? Because the church is not reaching them. That's why. Declare His glory among the nations. There's no greater glory than the glory in the gospel. There's glory in creation. There's glory in providence. There's glory in so many things. But the greatest glory is in the gospel. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all peoples. So first, my first point is here. Proclaim Him through your, reach them through your tongue, through your words. How? Now I've heard it said that some people say, preach the gospel every day and when necessary, use words. Now I understand the sentiment behind that, that we should live holy lives. I understand that. But that's not biblical. The biblical message is we must tell. We must preach the gospel. You are not obeying God unless you preach the gospel. Unless you share the gospel. You're not obeying God. And the gospel preaching is not just for pastors or missionaries or gospel workers. Every Christian is saved by the grace of God. And they have a responsibility to tell of the salvation. If we think that it's only pastors and people with theological training and people that are equipped that can preach the gospel, we are never going to reach the world. Never. Never. That every Christian should be involved in telling of the wonderful news. Every Christian. So, how do we reach people? Through preaching in churches. Now understand, people that have access to churches, they can preach, yes. We must preach them through churches. In churches, different churches. We must teach the gospel in Bible studies. And I'm not only talking about Bible studies at church. We should do that as well. We teach the gospel through the books of the Bible. But we should also go into other places. We should go into the schools. We should go into our workplace and start a Bible study. I remember my brother, when he was studying at university, started a Bible study in the music department. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. Where you work, there you should start a Bible study. If God has placed you in a certain place. There. And through the Bible study, you can preach the gospel. What I like is open air. Open air preaching. I love that. I've told my wife this week I'm going to do open air preaching somewhere. I just can't wait. Open air preaching is not just for preachers. I think many people can do that. If you have a passion to reach people. You can do it. And I know, Alec, you were with me the one time there in Kempton Park. I think we should do it again. Setting up a table, tracts, Bibles, different languages. Somebody gives out tracts, somebody preaches. Get a spot, an open spot that's allowed in South Africa. You can stand on the sidewalk in a city and you can preach. Open air preaching. Some people will never come to church. You understand that? No, some people will never come to church. Those Bengali and Urdu people all over Kempton Park in South Africa, they will not put their foot in a church building. They will not. You must go to them. You must stand on the street corner. You must go from shop to shop and evangelize them. Otherwise, they will never hear the gospel. They have a warped view of Jesus. They think he's only a prophet. So, open air preaching. Evangelism on the street, one-on-one. That's a different ball game. Door-to-door. I wonder, have you ever done door-to-door evangelism? And remember, I haven't done it for a long time. But I think it's a very effective way. I remember when I was a student, we used to go in Bloemfontein, go from flat to flat. And we just knock on doors. And I know sometimes now everybody's security conscious. You cannot get in because of the intercom and all that. But I remember when I was a student, I used to do it in Bloemfontein, going from flat to flat, door to door, and just meeting people, sitting down with them, sharing the gospel. We went to Phoenix in Durban, door to door on our holidays, door to door, locking on doors, preaching the gospel. And so many times, I remember, when you sit with people for an hour or 2 hours or half an hour, it just opens up. How can I pray for you? Just like that. He's a Hindu. He's whatever he believes in. How can I pray for you? And then right there, you start preaching the gospel. You see, the world is not going to reach unless we do things. They're not going to be reached by just you sitting on social media. It's not going to happen. And I love social media. That's another way of preaching the gospel. And I've been involved in that for many years. That's another way to get into India, for example, to get into Bangladesh. You create gospel videos and you boost them, advertise them, and reach thousands of people. You start conversations. And there are organizations like Global Media Outreach who reaches millions of people through gospel presentation. You walk them through the gospel, through online Bible studies. There are so many ways to do things, to reach people these days. And I'm a fan of social media, in fact. But that's not the only way. We cannot stop there. We must reach people one-on-one, door-to-door, on the street, social media. Counseling, that's another way. Gospel literature. Now, I'm a big fan of gospel literature. I know all people are not fans of that. We get gospel literature from Frontline Fellowship, and they get it from all over the world. World Missionary Press. A great way to share the gospel is giving people literature. Booklets, gospel literature, Bibles, New Testaments in different languages. If you want to reach the world with gospel literature, please talk to me afterwards. There are many ways. I have tracts in my car at this very moment. I can give you a stack. And you can, wherever you go, whenever you move, you can give them a gospel tract. In fact, this week, I was itching. I had to reach out to somebody. So I went to different places. And Urdu people, I have Urdu tracts. Okay, a few Urdu tracts. I have Urdu Bibles, in fact. Through the years, I've collected some Bibles. We have to do something. The Bible tells us God is glorious. God is going to judge the world. And unless people hear, read, understand the gospel, put their trust in Christ, they will not be saved. That's why our text says, tell the good news of his salvation from day to day. That's what we need to do. There's other ways as well. Conferences, seminars. There's different ways to reach people. You can have seminars at the church or conferences. We are involved with APC. We go over whole continent and DAF's conference inviting people. Another way is prisons and hospitals. Okay, I know friends of mine, I've never really been into prison ministry, but I visited prisons. We've preached the gospel at prisons many years ago. But prisons was an excellent place. I know David Harding in the UK, they have now a great ministry into prisons. Hospitals. When I was a student, what we used to do was this. We used to go into the hospital and have like four or five people singing hymns. Just singing hymns and praying for people. That's a way to reach people. Going, I don't know if that's still possible in South Africa. I don't know. But you can ask. I went to Joburg General last year with my wife, Roxanne. And I remember when we got 7 o'clock there, somebody preached the gospel and they prayed. I was amazed at this hospital. Before they started the day, they preached and they prayed. I'm sure these hospitals, there are opportunities there to get in. So we can multiply examples. What am I saying? There are so many opportunities to share the gospel, and you can probably provide with more opportunities. We have to reach the lost through our words, and then through our lives, and through our prayers. Verse 4, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, for he is to be feared above all gods. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, tremble before him all the earth." How do we reach people? By fearing God. That means by living a life that is holy and righteous. You can say a lot, but if your life is unholy, you're not going to effectively reach people. Therefore, you need to have the fear of God in your life. You need to tremble before him. If you have the fear of God in your life, it will drive out the fear of man, and you will be able to reach other people. The fear of God will dominate you, and you will go to anybody and preach the gospel to him. Because you fear him, and because that fear changes your life. You want to live holy. So we reach people through our lives, through being honest in business, righteous. We reach people through worship and singing. Verse 1 says, "Sing to the Lord. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." I'm always thinking of Romans chapter 12. "Because of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is your spiritual worship." So worship is not just what we do on a Sunday or when you sing. That's important. But worship is your body, presenting your body as a sacrifice. That is worship. So we reach people through our daily lives by reaching people through our works. Through ascribing to the Lord glory. Verse 7 and 8. We reach people through ascribing to the Lord glory and strength. So when you interact with your family, with colleagues, what do you share with them? Just how do you live? You know, why do you have the things that you have? Is it because of your own brilliance or your own intelligence? No, it's because of God, isn't it? What you have, what you do, what opportunities you have is because of God, ascribing glory to God. So when you communicate and interact with other people, what comes out of your mouth? Ascribing. Do you reflect things to God? Ascribing glory to God. The things that I have, the opportunities that I have, the health that I have, whatever I have, is it because of God? You see, ascribing, that's how we reach people. This by ascribing glory to God. And then lastly, verse 8 says, "Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts." Bring an offering. Old Testament times, you know what that meant. Bring an animal, sacrifice. Now that's done. We're not doing that anymore because we have Christ. But what does the Bible say? bring an offering. Now, if you study this thing about offering, it means three things: generosity, thanksgiving, brokenness. Means four things: prayer. Those things, sorry, four things. Prayer is an offering. Pray for people. Brokenness over sin is an offering, Psalm 51. Thanksgiving is an offering, Psalm 116. Sharing, generous to others, is an offering. Bring an offering. How do you reach people? You bring an offering. You are generous. You reach people with what you have. If it's not money, it's other things, tracts or whatever it is, prayers. You bring an offering. That's how we reach people. I think always the best thing we can do in reaching people is by praying for them. Roxanne and I, we pray regularly for unsaved family members. And hopefully God will one day answer our prayers. I know I've been saved through the prayers of my parents. Because when I was wicked and rebellious, many people prayed for me and God saved me. So that's where it actually starts. We pray for others. That's how we reach others. And may God help us. May God help us to glorify God by rescuing the perishing. Because the Bible, the text, commands us, sing to the Lord, declare His glory, tell of His salvation from day to day. May God help you and may God help me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, which enables us to be witnesses for Christ. Father, what a great Savior we have. What a great redemption we have. What a great Spirit we have, the Holy Spirit within us. And Father, I pray that you will use each one of us during this week, during this month, coming month, to reach the lost, to reach them through our words, to reach them through our lives, to reach them through our prayers. Father, may we go out and do something because you command us. You have granted us salvation through Christ. And may we now share that with others and the unreached and the lost. For your glory, so that they may glorify and worship you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.